Hello, Saints. Doesn't that sound good? I love that. Are you excited tonight? Are you enjoying your salvation? I am. And I'm excited. I remember years ago, Brother Austis Wilson, now this goes back a long time ago. I looked at Brother Wilson and he knew the Bible. He just knew the Word. And I remember he'd bring his Bible, it'd be closed, and he'd preach a message, and then he'd open it up and he'd read a text. It all went together, tied it in real well. He made a statement that stuck with me. He said, "The more I learn, the more I learn that I know nothing." And I thought, wow, where does that leave me? A long ways to go. But I find that journey is exciting. The things that I learn, how God deals with me and talks with me. I remember telling a man, he was a Baptist, and I was working down in South Carolina with him, and our doctrines, of course, didn't line up. They didn't match. And we were talking one day, and I told him, I said, "The Lord talks to me." Oh, he said, "Oh, you better be careful with that. You better be careful with that." And people saying the Lord's talking to him, you know, that just... And he went away and he came back a little while later and he says, "You know, the Lord talks to me too." It's nice to have the Lord talk to you. But the Lord said that He'd talk to every man. He comes to all of us. And I'm thankful that He had. Turn with me. I desire your prayers tonight. I always desire your prayers when I get behind the sacred desk. I don't always know what the Lord's going to do up here, but I trust that He knows, and I know He does. So you pray for us. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians, the third chapter, and I want to read the 8th verse. Ephesians 3:8. It says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given." Now this is Paul writing to Ephesus, to the church there. "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints." Think of that. This man that we look at that wrote many of the books of the New Testament, and we look at him as a great man of God. Yet his statement says here, "Who am less than the least of all saints." What did he think of himself? I would say that's a man of humility, isn't it? When I found that God's men will be humble. It goes along with the spirit that God has given unto us. "The least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." The unsearchable riches of Christ. I think of that word unsearchable and it comes to me, I can't get there from here. It's something that I can't find. I can look and look, and I don't know really where to look. I don't know how to go about it. But it says here that he was to preach these unsearchable riches to Christ. Well, then I also have to preach those unsearchable riches. Do I know what they are? Well, in another place, I don't have it written down here, he said, "I have not seen or ear heard the things that God has prepared for those 11, but he has revealed them unto us." Unto a saint. Dear ones, and that's why I'm excited about this. Because every day the Lord opens up something else to me. Something new I learn. I learn about His Word and sometimes I learn it about me. And I can tell you right now, sometimes when I learn it about me, it isn't very pretty. But I'm thankful. You know, a spanking from God's even good. It's even good. Because every time He spanks me, I know He still loves me. My father used to spank me. Well, not very often, but once in a while. My mother chased me around more than my dad did. But I knew they loved me. And now my heavenly Father loves me, and He proves it over and over, and I'm thankful for it. I came across a scripture in my studies. Turn with me to Acts, the 16th chapter. And I was reading Spurgeon, one of his writings, and he talked about this scripture, Acts the 16th chapter, And I'll begin at the 13th verse. Talking about unsearchable riches. Acts 16:13 says, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was to be wrought, The Jews had a tradition that they would go along the rivers and waterways and they would build places for people to come and worship. It was traditional. That's what they would do. And here it says, where prayer was wrought to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted hither." This was a place where the women of that area would come and they would meet together and they would worship. And the writer here, which many believe is Luke, and as I look into the commentary studying on this scripture, the commentaries believe that Paul, Silas, and Luke were three of the ministers that met with the women, and there may have been more. But because of the time frame and all that had happened, they believe that these ministers were there. "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." Does that scripture stick out to you at all? At first, I'd read it many times, but it didn't. But this one time it did. It said, whose heart the Lord opened. Has the Lord opened your heart? Now, we see that picture of Jesus knocking on the door with no handle. And it's symbolic of Him coming to each one of us and knocking on our heart's door and saying, "Open unto me." There's an opening that we do that God may enter. But that's not the opening it's talking about here. It's talking about the Lord opened her heart. She didn't open her heart. The Word didn't open her heart. Paul and the other apostles didn't open her heart. It says here that the Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So Paul was the main speaker here. And she attended to those things. In other words, you know what an attendant does. Attendant sees to their client's needs. A waiter or waitress sees to the client's, the customer's needs. Attending to those things. She listened to what Paul had to say. And she took those things in and the Lord opened her heart. What are we talking about? The Lord opening her heart. Dear ones, we're talking about understanding. We're talking about understanding in a greater fashion, in a greater way than she had ever understood before. Recently, I'd say 6 months ago, there was a sister in our congregation, and she said, "Something's happened." She says, "When I read the Word of God, I can understand it now." She said, "When the preacher preaches, I can understand it now." And I thought, she couldn't understand it before. No, God had opened her heart. I went back to this scripture and I knew what had taken place. She'd come to a place where the Lord opened her heart and now the Word of God was revealed to her in a greater way than it ever had been before. Isn't that beautiful?
Praise God.
Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. As Paul preached the Word of God, Lydia's heart was opened by God. He opened her heart and gave her a greater understanding. And as we go on to read here, we'll understand how it began to take root and begin to work. And it surely didn't take very long. It said she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She took it in and she listened and she took it into her heart and mind and said, "Yes, that's what I want." And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Oh, she was baptized. You see, she was a Jew, and she went down there to worship. But she didn't know about Christ. But her heart got opened. She understood. I want that. And she was baptized. But it didn't stop there, did it? She said, if ye have judged me. When was the last time you asked someone to judge you? Have you ever asked someone to judge you? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Oh, Brother Rich is going to give you permission right now to judge me. Because if you see something in my life that would hinder my walk with God or keep me out of heaven, I want you to tell me. Because my soul's at stake. You see, Lydia's soul was at stake here. She said, if you found me, if you judged me, if you've looked on me and you've seen my life and where I'm at today, if I'm found worthy. Some of us don't like being judged, do we? I wouldn't give that out to just anyone, but I'll give it out to the saints. Because I know that you love me and you care about me and you care about my soul. I feel confident that I could put my soul in your hands. And I've had people say, oh, no. But I tell you, I know saints from coast to coast that I would willingly put my soul in their hands and know that they'll treat it right and help me get to heaven. I had a young man come to me one time and he told me he didn't have anybody like that. Didn't know anybody that he could do that with. And all I could say is, I know a lot of them. Come with me, I'll introduce you. I'll show you the true saints of God, men and women that love him and have given their life for him. Don't we really put our life in someone's hands when we come to this old altar for prayer? Think about that for a minute. We come out here and we put out our heart and we put out our soul. We bring a petition, say, Lord, I need this. And someone comes up to pray with us. We're going to listen to their counsel, aren't we? And we're going to listen to their prayer. When people go to that altar, you'll find me praying, Lord, meet them there. Lord, meet them here at this old altar. They come because there's a need. You touch them some way, Lord, and they come. But them that go to help them and pray with them and counsel them, Lord, lead them in your spirit. This is too important, Lord. Their soul's at stake. I've given myself over. My soul's at stake. It's in your hands for just a moment. How will you counsel me? How will you pray for me? My wife told me one time, our ex-pastor, she said, honey, you listen. You listen real good. When you counsel, I want you to pay extra special attention when you pray at the end and listen to their prayer. Because there's always going to be something in that prayer that's going to get you just where you need to be hit. And so I did. And she was right. Different gifts given that men can help each other. Lord, help us. Here it says that the Lord opened her heart. And now she said, if you looked on me and judged me and found me to be worthy. Isn't that what it says? If you have judged me to be faithful, let me correct myself. To the Lord, come into my house. You shared with me the gospel that God has given unto you. You've shared spirituality with me, and now I want to share what the Lord has given me with you. Those temple things that you need, I want to administer and attend to your needs also. And it says she constrained us. What's the word constrained mean? It means she wouldn't take no for an answer, would she? She said, no, if you found me faithful, she gave them that option. They could have said, well, we don't find you faithful, but they couldn't say that, could they? They found her faithful. And so it says, she constrained us. She held us. For just a time, she held us. It was so important. You ever keep the saints in your house? I'm real. You know, I use this word because I don't have a better word for it, but I'm selfish. I am. When the saints come through, I want them at my house. I want them at my house. Because those little conversations we get into, those little prayer meetings we have, and those prayers I listen to, they do something for me. They excite me. Excite me into the kingdom that I've come to know and to love. It's a beautiful thing, brother. Leslie Busby and his wife Sylvia, brother and sister, stayed in our home the last time they came to our meeting, and he wrote us a little. Well, my wife has a guest book in one of our guest rooms, and people write in it. And, you know what, brother Busby, he's just so talented. You know, my wife says, "Come in here and read this." And I go in there, and he has penned a poem. I mean, it just comes to him. You know, there was no, he just starts in. And he left us the most beautiful poem. If he had to stay with me, I'd have never got that. So, I'm not ashamed to say I'm selfish. In that aspect, I want to be with the saints of God. These are my brothers and sisters. This is my family. And God has opened my heart. I know what the scripture means. The Lord opened her heart. And he opened my heart. And I'm still asking him to open it some more. Let me understand more and let me understand better. Oh, she was willing to give all she had. And she constrained us, it says. Praise God. Acts the 9th chapter. Acts the 9th chapter, I want to begin at the first verse. This is, of course, about Saul. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, this Christian way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Lord, what would you have me to do? This is what I want to read. Asking the Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm here now. I hear you speaking to me. I want to open up my heart to you. And Lord, if you'll but open up my heart even further, that I might know exactly your will and what you want me to do. Lord, help us. And then he said, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I'm going to make a little statement here, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but I see amongst us an independent spirit. People thinking that they know better. That they know what God wants for them. And they're not willing to take admonishment or instruction. And as I look at this scripture, I see that one of the greatest authors was willing to arise and go into a city and have another man tell him what he was to do. Isn't that something? This man that had authority to put that other man in prison. And yet now there's been a turnaround, there's been a change. Lord, what would you have me to do? Rise, go into that city, and a man will tell you what to do. You know, as a minister, when people ask me questions, I stare them toward the Lord. You know, you got to pray and get a hold of God. I'll pray with you. But God is the final answer in this thing. But there's times the Lord even gives counsel on how to go about that. That sometimes I have to hand out. Here, this minister of God, this prophet, came to Saul and told him what the Lord had given him to say. And Saul was willing to take it. Lord, open our hearts. Open our heart to counsel. Open our heart to prayer. Open our heart to the messages in the songs. Lord, open me up. And as you open me, it brings us to a place where God can begin to teach us and begin to use us for His glory. Why did God create us? As a young person, young people, sometimes you lay there in the middle of the night and wonder why you are who you are. Do you ever wonder why God breathed the breath of life in you? You ever wonder what your purpose is here on this earth? You ever think that? You ever wonder that? I used to think that all the time. Lord, why am I here? Why am I me? Why wasn't I someone else? But here I am, Lord. What is it? And as I look into the Word of God, God created each and every one of us for His pleasure. For His pleasure and for His purpose. Lord, do you find pleasure in me? Does He find pleasure in you? Dear ones, it's going to take an opening of the heart. That He can get right down in there and open up your understanding to the deep things of God. It's a desire for Him to make you know those things. In Job 23 and 16, Job said, "He, God maketh my heart soft. God maketh my heart soft." You know what my children tell me now? They say, "Dad, you've turned into a crybaby." That's good. I'll take that as a compliment. God took that stony heart out and replaced it with a heart of flesh. And now I cry a lot. And you know, it feels pretty good. And it's usually not crying over sorrow. It's usually crying over happiness. It's crying over happiness. Because God gave me a joy deep down in my heart. When He opened it, He filled it with joy and He filled it with love. That's what our God will do. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I want to begin at the 4th verse. Well, let's start the 3rd verse. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world..." You know who the God of this world is? It's Satan. It's the devil himself. "And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." An opening of the heart. An opening of the heart. It's here, it says there, of the knowledge of the glory of God. Glory. Have you witnessed that glory? It ought to excite you. Do you find happiness and pleasure in your salvation experience? We should. And we should every day. Does the Lord need to open your heart a little wider, a little more? Lord, help us. We can pray that prayer, can we not? Lord, open me up to all that you want me to be. Teach me of thy ways. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew, the 13th chapter and the 13th verse. It says, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. There's many forms of healing. There's healing of the body, of course, but there's healing of the mind, and there's healing of the heart. There's healing of emotions. Many different kinds of healing. If the Lord can but get to our hearts, He'll also get to our minds. Because understanding with the heart goes to the mind. This is where we reason. And He says here, I can heal you. Whatever it is you need, I can heal you. But blessed are your eyes, for ye see. He's talking to His apostles here. And He's saying, blessed are your eyes, because you see. I've opened your heart to a point where you can see, know, and understand about the kingdom, about what spirit we're of, and what God is really calling for His people. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. But dear ones, today we can see it and we can hear it. If God will but open our hearts, may the Lord help us. John the 12th chapter and the 37th verse. It says, but though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him. What's it going to take for you and I to really believe? Here they were right amongst Him and seen the miracles and still could not believe. Dear ones, it's because of a stiff neck and a hard heart. But if you'll but ask God to open up your heart, to soften that heart, you also can see and to hear and to understand. But though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him. And it goes on to talk about the saying of Isaiah, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah saith again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. There it is again. Be converted and to be healed. Lord, help us. Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter, and begin at the 5th verse. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded. It means worldly minded. He that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're talking about a worldly mind. Do you ever find yourself of a worldly mind? Lord, help me. Once again, we can pray and say, Lord, I want this worldly mind gone. I want it gone. Deliver me, dear Lord. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. The carnal mind will never know nor understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. They'll never understand the salvation experience because it's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That makes it pretty plain, doesn't it? Where does that leave the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Muslims? Where does that leave them? They don't believe in Christ. The Bible says the only way to God is through Jesus. That's going to leave them falling far short of heaven, isn't it? Lord, help us. But I'm glad that you and I have the truth. And we can have this salvation, this wonderful salvation experience. Open our hearts to Him and let Him open your hearts wider to have a full knowledge and a full understanding. Lord, help us. Luke, the 24th chapter. Luke, the 24th chapter. I want to begin at the 32nd verse, I believe. Oh. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And it says they got up and they rose and they returned. I don't think I want to read all of that. And they told what things, 35, and they told what things were done in the way, and how it was known to them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he saith unto them, have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and of honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. These were the apostles that had been with him the whole time. And what is one of the last things he did before he left to be with his Father, said he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. I would have thought they already did. Dear ones, there's an opening at the heart that only the Lord can do. And we need that opening. May the Lord help us. Matthew, the 7th chapter. And I want to get the 7th verse. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Going back to this word ask, what does the word ask mean to you? To me it means to become a beggar. That's really all I am before the Lord. Unprofitable servant, I'm just a beggar. Lord, this is what I need. I see it, Lord. Would you give it to me? Lord, I need it. If I'm going to serve you as you want, if I'm going to be pleasing in the sight of my God, Lord, I need this thing. And I'm not ashamed to beg. And then seek. Seek like you lost something. Have you ever lost something of value? Head into the store and find out, you get there and you've lost your money. You go back, you start looking for it, don't you? Dear ones, when there's something that you need, search for it like you've lost something of great value. Leave no stone unturned. Seek with care and application. Dear ones, your soul's at stake. This is about getting a hold of God for that which we need. And then it says, knock. I've got here, knock with earnestness and perseverance. Don't stop until you have it. I'm willing to beg, I'm willing to seek, and I'm going to knock until you open unto me, Lord. Would you open up my heart? Would you help me to understand? I went to Matthew Henry, and here's what Matthew Henry, the commentator, had to say about an open heart. He said, open to divine light, divine law, divine love, thus open to Christ, ear open to His Word, the lips open to prayer, hands open to charity, and steps enlarged in all manner of gospel obedience. Gospel obedience. Praise God. Let's turn to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and 130. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. I'm in that class. Just a simple man. But here his entrance of his word giveth light and giveth understanding. Lord, help me to know and to understand. When Solomon was given that opportunity to ask for whatever he wanted, what did he ask for? An understanding heart. How important is this understanding heart? To have the Lord open the heart of Lydia, that she might understand, and open our hearts, that we too might understand. May the Lord help us. You want a greater understanding? Ask. Seek. Knock. And the Lord will bless you. Amen. You pray for me.